You're glowing like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, looking to the sky, descending like a cloud. Standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Open up the heavens,
open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Inhabits the praises of his people. A couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we got an invitation to go to a wedding. Who likes weddings? I have to admit, when it got close to the time, I'm busier than a three-legged dog right now. I didn't want to go. But Christy was excited to see family members, a little reunion, to see a cousin's son get married. And the more I thought about it, and her mom wanted to go, I got excited about it. I started thinking, rethinking about it. I thought, we need to go. So we went, and it was 55 miles away. We traveled all the back roads to get out by Rockford to go to this wedding. And when we got there, it was probably one of the most beautiful settings of a wedding I've ever seen in my life. I was glad I went. It was back in the woods in a lodge-type area. Birds singing. The clouds went away. The sky was blue. The birds were singing. There was a nice, gentle breeze. The place was decked out in just a gorgeous, gorgeous setting. They had pews like these outdoors with a big gazebo. And we're all sitting there in anticipation, waiting. I'm trying to paint you a picture. Okay. I'm going somewhere with this, as Brother Wells would say. It was the most gorgeous wedding day. You could see the excitement in the people as they're anticipating to see this young couple, a chaste couple that had made a vow that they would be abstaining from any kind of relationship until their marriage day. They were virgins. They loved the Lord. And it was such a beautiful day. And we're all sitting, the people are gathering, and more people are coming into this beautiful wooded area and sitting down. Then they play the music. And then the minister shows up. And everyone's turning around looking and waiting and watching. Where's the bride and where's the groom? Then they play the music. And here comes the procession, the people that were invited to the wedding. We were just spectators. I didn't want to be a spectator. And I started thinking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be a participant. I want to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb when the Lord comes. And as beautiful as this wedding was, it'll pale in comparison until that day when our Lord comes and takes us home to be with Him. And I heard a voice in a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. Today we've got one more opportunity to get a little more ready. One day He's going to say, come up hither. The day has come. I want to be ready. Thank you.
You may be seated if you like. I don't know if a lot of you know, but today is Pentecost Sunday, so all of our songs are about the wind and his breath moving. And so all these songs are about that. It talks about it moving like a rushing mighty wind. Can you imagine being a part of that day, the very, very first time? Everybody's waiting in anticipation in the upper room, waiting for his spirit to pour. I hope worship with us as we sing this next song.
Lord, you. Send it on down, Lord, let the Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. I know it's already been stated a couple times, but this is, if you will, a great celebration of the day from which we draw our name or our affiliation as Pentecostals. And we are thankful that we recognize this day and that it's recognized throughout pretty much the religious community as Pentecost Sunday. And so we are thankful that you're here. Want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement as you're grabbing your Bible. Tonight, split sessions beginning at 6 p.m. Men with men, ladies with ladies, children with children. That's happening tonight. So we encourage you to come be a part of those separate studies focusing upon those particular demographics. And I hope that you'll come and be encouraged by the subject matter that's being taught. Again, 6 p.m. tonight. And just looking forward to a time together. Next Sunday night is going to be a little bit different. It is Memorial Day weekend, and so we are having our Faith and Family Night, a celebration, if you will. But it won't be here. It will be at the north end of town at Knights Park in Sandwich. Weather permitting, we are going to have a good time together, a potluck dinner, and a bags tournament. If for some reason the weather would be inclement, we would not be able to have it there, we will move it back here to the church facility. But at this point in time, we are planning to have the potluck dinner and another bags tournament. And so just looking forward to have a great time together from 5 to 8 p.m. And there is a sign-up sheet at the back, so please just kind of write down. It's pretty general, just like main dish, side dish, bread, drink, dessert, that sort of stuff. So if you would fill out your name in one or more of those particular places, we would certainly appreciate that and make sure we have enough food for all. And just looking forward to a great time together. If you have your Bibles and you would turn in them with me to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And then we're going to have you place your finger there and go to Romans chapter 5 verse 8. And then one more passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23. We begin in Matthew 1, 23. We'll go to Romans 5, 8, and then finally to John chapter number 14, verses 17 through 20. I realize there's don't often give you three passages of Scripture right off the bat, but I want to draw your attention to those particular passages. Matthew chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 23. Familiar passage of Scripture that's read more often around Christmas time, but I want to draw your attention there. Matthew 1, 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Everybody say God with us. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. But God commended his love toward us that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he said, God for us. God for us. John chapter number 14, beginning of verse number 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Everybody say, God in us. God with us. God for us. God in us. I want to preach to you upon this subject, the importance of Pentecost. The importance of Pentecost. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for another opportunity to be in your house, to preach your precious word to wonderful people. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, that we'd once again be reminded in your word as to why we affiliate ourselves, God, as Pentecostals, and why it is so important that we affirm such in our own lives, God, for it is the fulfillment of your work, God, and we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. Jesus, in your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The importance of Pentecost. Today is the day commonly called Pentecost Sunday. It's the day we commemorate the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on what is called the day of Pentecost, upon those gathered in the city of Jerusalem, awaiting the promise of the Father, which Jesus said would come. Those that in his final remarks before he ascended up to heaven, he told them, but go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. For behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. In other words, it's coming. All that has happened, all that is taking place is about to have its culmination, if you will. I take a small measure of delight today knowing that all over the world, preachers, ministers, speakers, whatever they would call themselves, will utter words that identify my particular religious affiliation. They will talk about Pentecost. I in no way am demeaning other denominations. I am simply saying that I do find a small measure of satisfaction knowing that whatever their denomination is and whatever affiliation they may have with whatever organization they may have, that today, if they follow the course of events concerning Calvary, Easter, so on and so forth, and they understand that today is Pentecost Sunday, they will at some point in time, if not preach a message on Pentecost. I am proud to be Pentecostal. We should not hesitate to affiliate ourselves with the day of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We should not worry about offending others or pigeonholing ourselves in the sense of what we believe. I consider it an honor to affiliate myself as a Pentecostal minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am proud to be a Pentecostal preacher, one who still preaches in and the essentiality of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I do not back away from that. I am not in any way, shape, or form ashamed of that. I am proud to be Pentecostal. And that pride is not an arrogance. That pride is not condescending to in any way condemning to other affiliations or other denominations. I am simply stating the fact that I am proud to be affiliated with the fulfillment of Jesus' work. I'm proud that I don't stop somewhere along the line. I'm glad that he is God with us, and I'm glad that at Calvary he was God for us, but I'm really glad at Pentecost he became God in us. Look at what Jesus said in his final remarks. And many of the times we've read this passage of scripture, and often on this day, Luke 24, verses 44 through 49. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled." Everybody say fulfilled. "All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." In other words, fulfillment is taking place. All things must be fulfilled. All that was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Everything that was written, there's a fulfillment that is taking place. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written," this is the fulfillment, "Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon ye. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Can I paraphrase what Jesus is saying without taking away or taking it out of context? Fellas, all this had to happen to fulfill Scripture. Me coming to be God with you had to happen. Isaiah prophesied concerning me. Me coming to be God for you had to happen, because the Psalms talked about how it was going to happen. All these things had to be fulfilled. But I also spent some time telling you that before long, I'm not only going to be with you, I'm going to be in you. That hasn't happened yet. So you got to go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be. In other words, it hasn't all been fulfilled yet. Can I make this assertion? And please understand that this is scripturally based. Anything short of Pentecost leaves us unfulfilled. I'm thankful for the Christmas story, and I'm thankful for the understanding that He's Emmanuel, God with us, that the Word became flesh. I'm grateful for the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. I'm grateful that I understand the incarnate, that Jesus was God manifested in flesh. I'm thankful that I know that, and I'm thankful that the Word reveals that, and I'm thankful that He is God with us in Jesus Christ. But if I stop there, I'm not fulfilled. We need to be reminded that there is a process. That there is. And I thought about this even in relation to the disciples. We preach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We preach repentance, baptism in His name, in the infilling of the Spirit. And we understand that is all through Scripture. We understand that is salvation. We understand that is the born-again experience. But think about it in relation to the disciples. Because just as you and I, in a sense, experience a death, burial, and resurrection, just as we talk about repentance, baptism in His name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, there was in their lives symbology in what took place through the process. Think about it. They spent 3.5 years walking with this man, God with them. Think about it. They heard His teachings. They saw His miracles. They asked the questions. "Show us the Father, and it suffices us. Have I been so long time with you, and that yet thou hast not known me? I've been with you this whole time, Philip, and yet thou hast not known me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." I've been with you guys for 3.5 years. But then, after being with Him, He dies on a cross. They recognize their leader, the one. And though they had misconceptions about the kingdom and everything, that we understand that according to Scripture, they didn't understand it all. Matter of fact, it wasn't until Luke 24 till He opened their understanding that they would understand the Scriptures. So they couldn't understand it all. And so they're thinking that He's coming. Many of them
James and John wanted to sit on his right hand and on his left. Why? We talked about that last week. Why? Why? Because they thought he was a physical kingdom and they couldn't understand everything. He was with them and they had dreams and hopes. Jesus told them, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh. He, fisherman, nobody. Tax collector who the people despise, you're telling me I'm going to sit on one of the 12 thrones ruling 12 tribes of Israel? And now, he's dead? What dreams do you think died on that day? What hopes, misunderstood as they were, what hopes do you think died on that day for the disciples? How grieved they were. It was a death that took place. Death to their aspirations, death to their hopes, death to their longing. How are they going to rule now? How are they going to sit on 12 thrones ruling the 12 tribes of Israel? Their leader is dead. He's gone. The Bible lets us know. See, that's a death. And the Bible lets us know. We can understand that they hid themselves. They were afraid that the Romans and the chief rulers of the Jews were coming for them. And the Bible tells us that they were all gathered in one place and they were shut up. The doors were locked. Why? They were hidden. Can you understand that is a type of burial? They buried themselves away from the rest of society. Death, burial. Then, on the day of Pentecost, they come into the city of Jerusalem. Folks, it's a death. It's a burial. And then it's a resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, when God poured out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost, we understand they experience in symbolic understanding death, burial, and resurrection. So you and I, here's the thing. We love and we preach and we teach and we should. Calvary is a great thing. And there's emblems of the cross all over Christianity. But I'm thankful He wasn't just God for me. I'm thankful He wasn't just a propitiation for my sin. I'm thankful that He wasn't just a substitute. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us, as though God did beseech you by, and we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I am so thankful for Calvary because it shows me where He is God for us. Where He paid the price, the debt of sin that we could not pay, He paid. He took our trespasses and He nailed them to the tree. He took our iniquities upon Himself. And I'm so very thankful that He became God for us. I need water for this next one. I am not in any way, shape, or form speaking ill of other denominations. But you need to understand, and I need to understand, that we as Pentecostals are special. I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. I'm not saying that demeaning others. What I'm saying is that we understand the importance of Pentecost. Because there's a lot of teaching, and there's a lot of preaching, and there's a lot of leading, and there's a lot of pastoring, and there's a lot of ministering that doesn't really get beyond the God with us stage. That He's just with you. He's going to help you, and He's with you. And there are others that take it further, and they talk about God who is for us, and they talk about Him, and they talk about His grace, and they talk about how that He became sin for us. And that's all well and good, and I love those things, and they're a part of it. But we need to understand, if we just stop at God with us, or we just stop at God for us, we don't truly understand the importance of the fulfillment. I'm grateful that people preach about God being with us. And I'm grateful that people preach about God being for us. But I'm thankful that as a Pentecostal, I can preach to people about God being in us. I'm not going to leave people short. I'm not going to leave people somewhere along the line. I'm not going to leave them less than fulfilled. I want them to know there's a Pentecost that's for everybody. There's an outpouring of His Spirit. There's a resurrection for each and everybody. We understand. God with us in Jesus Christ at Bethlehem became the God for us in Jesus Christ at Calvary. Get that. 1 John 4:9-10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God for us. But catch out the phrase. Understand. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Calvary is a depiction of the death. Stay with me. I love the cross. And I preach the cross. And I understand more and more every day about the cross. But catch it. It goes beyond the cross. Our walk in relationship, our fulfillment of our walk in relationship with Jesus Christ does not stop at Him being God for us and the propitiation of our sins. There's another part, that we might live through Him. I'm grateful that the old man can die through Him. I'm grateful that I can participate in His death and burial. I'm thankful for repentance and baptism. I'm thankful, but I need to understand just those two is not the fulfillment. And I am not truly living in Christ until there is a resurrection. Don't understand. And I somewhat, and please again, and it's not in a demeaning way, but I do feel sorry for individuals who were taught that living for God is about just participating in His death. It's not. That's part of it. But that's not complete fulfillment. The importance of Pentecost is that it takes us all the way. The importance of Pentecost is it doesn't leave us at God with us or God for us. It takes us all the way to God in us. It takes us to the fulfillment of the power of the Holy Ghost inside of us, giving us that which it takes to die daily, giving us that which it takes to understand He's God with me and He's God for me because He's God in me. It's the fulfillment. The story doesn't end with Him dying. The story doesn't end with Him being God for us. There's an empty tomb revealing that He has taken it further than just being with us and just being for us. There's an empty tomb that signifies, and we need to understand, the day of Pentecost is the celebration of an empty tomb. And I know we preach about it and we teach about it on Easter and we talk about Him rising from the dead, but you need to understand He rose from the dead that you and I could live a resurrected life. Jesus told the disciples, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. The importance of Pentecost is such that it fulfills the plan of God for each and every one of us. The day of Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday, is the fulfillment of the Scriptures. Came. God with us. He died. God for us. He rose again to be God in us. It is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, I cannot come. Ooh. Boys, 3.5 years with me was great. And it's wonderful, but guess what? For the rest of your lives, you're going to have me in you. For the rest of your lives. Oh, the importance of Pentecost is the understanding that I can have the power of God in me. That I can have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He will also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. The importance of Pentecost. Please understand my heart. I'm not demeaning what they preach. It's somewhere there in the process. But oh, preacher friend of mine, one who would stand up and preach to people on Pentecost Sunday, I pray that you would understand it is the fulfillment. And the importance of Pentecost is such that it is for every one of you, to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. The power of the one who overcame the world. Not just to be with us, or for us, but in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is why Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you," Acts 1:8, "and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth." Those disciples who were shut up in a room with the doors locked, afraid for their very lives. Those same disciples who were running scared, who were worried at any moment, chief rulers, the Roman centurions were going to break down the door and take them, crucify them. Those same disciples after Pentecost are the same disciples which stand before the chief elders and say, "Listen, you need to understand, we can only preach what He puts into our mouths. We can only say what He tells us to say, and we count it an honor that we can suffer for His name." Boys that just a few weeks ago were all huddled together, scared for their lives, with the doors locked and the doors shut, are now out on the streets of Jerusalem and walking up to the gate and saying, "Hey, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." They would have stayed holed up in the rooms. They would have stayed buried in society if it had stopped at Him just being God for them. Because on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Because of Pentecost. Because they understood. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. "In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Is that Him which ye have crucified has shed for this which ye now see and hear. The importance of Pentecost. They came to understand is that it is the fulfillment of the work of Jesus Christ. Friend of mine, don't preach about him unless you're going to take him all the way through. It's great that you're showing that he's God with us and God for us. But also tell him that he's God in us, in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm proud to be Pentecostal because I understand the importance of God in me. I understand the importance of having that Spirit inside of me, empowering me to be a witness unto the world in which I live. It is the importance of Pentecost. And we're here to celebrate on this Pentecost Sunday. I'm here with a smile on my face, and yeah.
Yesterday's gone. Today I'm
a little bit of excitement about the understanding of the importance of Pentecost. I am proud to be a Pentecostal.
Breathe on me.
These altars are open.
Breathe on me.
If you've never received God in you, you need to understand. That's the fulfillment.
Breathe on me.
It's good to understand God with me, and it's good to understand God for me.
Today I'm in need.
But there's more.
Holy Ghost, God in me. Power,
the power of the Holy Ghost.
On me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Ghost, power. Breathe on me. Yes. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today burn in me, breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in me. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Rain on me, Holy Ghost showers, rain on me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. Holy Ghost showers, rain on me. Breathe on me.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I didn't ask these two young people their permission, but I hope that they will understand and not feel ill towards me in this. But I want Josh, come on up here, bud. Jenna, you come up front. I stand right here. Brother Greg, you kind of clear out that space in front and let them. Two significant things happening in their life today. Brother Josh is graduating high school. Proud of him, the fine young man that he is. But as we all know, the adulting begins, if you will. Life choices, decisions, all those things. Sister Jenna is going to be away from us for a couple months. She's kind of relocating to the St. Louis area for a little while. And we hope that she does not make that a permanent residence.
Right.
That she gets homesick really quick and comes back. But we know with change of environment and change of scenery and change of influences in life, there's always those things. And that's going to be for both of them as they enter into these different arenas in life.
Yep. Right.
And so I want the church people to come in and gather around Jenna, gather around Josh, and we're going to spend some time praying for them. We're going to pray God's. Come on, gather around them. Don't. Wasn't just talking to hear myself talk. Come on. Big choices, big decisions. Adulting brings that. But we want them to know, first and foremost, there's a people who believe in them, who are praying for them,
Jesus,
who want
yes,
the best
yes.
for them. Pray God's protection, help, Jesus. Guidance in the Holy Ghost. Can we pray for them right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for these fine young people. We know there are many decisions to be made in life, God, many crossroads that they will come to, choices, God, that will come, and I know the enemy would seek to cloud their mind. God would try to distract them and detour them from what you have, Lord. But you have a destiny for them. Your desire, your will for them, God, far exceeds anything that they could ever find in and of themselves or from the world around about them, Lord. And I pray that your hand of guidance is upon them, Lord, that your spirit would lead them, God. Give them direction for the decisions that are to be made in their life, God. We love them, God. We know, God, that we have given them roots and endeavored, God, to instill, God, their principles and precepts in their life. And now, God, as they make choices, God, help them not to place those things in jeopardy, God. Help them to hold, God, what has been placed in their heart and life, the principles of the utmost esteem. To find purpose in your plan, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness. In the name of Jesus, in the name of house. Can we lift our hands and lift our voice?
Take me to the place where your angels live.
Lord, the importance of Pentecost, of your spirit being in us. Give us, God, that which we have needed. Give us direction and help and strength. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Take me.
thank you for your word. Thank you for our time together. Pray, God, that you would continue to instill in our hearts and our lives the importance of Pentecost. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. All that you are and all that you do. Go with us in your precious name. In Jesus' name we ask. God bless you. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.